Wednesday afternoon, time for our bi-monthly conversation with MIBiz senior writer Mark Sanchez. Start Garden, really looking to assist more minority-owned tech startups.
Yeah, this is, of course, Start Garden, the business incubator in downtown that offers some low-cost subsidized rent and subsidized parking, very important for downtown businesses when you're just starting out and don't have a lot of cash flow. But it's trying to reach out under a new contract it has with the organization that runs the Smart Zone in downtown, where it's trying to reach out more, simply to bring in a more diverse base of technology startup companies. It's reaching out more to the business groups, the business associations, the neighborhood associations and groups to just get more of these female-owned, women-owned, African-American-owned, Hispanic-owned, and just reach out more to that minority community to say, hey, here's a space we want you here. And this is the idea that startup economy, startup ecosystem needs to work for everybody. And you know, data all around, there's just several data points that we can look at says sometimes, you know, not everybody's participating in the startup ecosystem. Give the props to the folks at Start Garden. They're reaching out more and they're trying to bring in more minority-owned business startups into the business incubator. The goal is to have 6 technology companies incubated over the next 2 years in the center there in downtown. We have a story about that this week in MIBiz. It's a noteworthy goal because, again, this is an effort to really make sure that everybody's participating in this economy and this startup community.
It's all about finding that talent, and talent is impacting, at least we see this in Steelcase's quarterly sales growth, this talent shortage is impacting Steelcase's sales. Explain this one.
Yeah, impacting the sales growth. You know, we've talked about this issue, the talent shortage, the labor shortage, not just locally, but across the state and across the nation. We've talked about that a number of times on this program. And here was an example of how this problem has worked its way through the economy and how far it's beginning to reach. Because we hear about this from every individual we talk to. I've been talking to some bankers lately. They hear it constantly from clients and their borrowers. We hear it from CEOs. We hear it from small business owners. We have tight labor markets. So last week, Steelcase reports its quarterly earnings and sales. The numbers were okay. Sales were up about 9%. Earnings looked good. They missed a little bit, but everything looks good. And the economy is in good shape. But the CEO, James King, was talking about and explaining how the sales patterns went in the quarter, talked about how the tight labor markets and labor shortage across America is affecting sales growth. There are cases where they have clients who are developing new office space, whether expanding or a new office building. Those office projects are now behind schedule and are delayed because the construction companies working on the project in those local markets can't get enough labor. So the office project gets behind, that move for the client into that building gets behind. Therefore, that client needs to delay shipment of the furnishings from Steelcase. And he didn't really quantify how much of an impact that was on the top line and the bottom line. But it was an interesting issue he brought up in the quarterly conference call that Steelcase does with the brokerage analyst, that this is a growing issue. Again, it was interesting to see how this issue, this problem that so many CEOs worry about today, has worked its way through the economy into that level.
We'll stick with office furniture here. Neocon just wrapped up in Chicago a couple weeks ago. Some interesting developments and new areas for growth that you identify.
Yeah, Jessica Young, our reporter who covers that industry, was in Chicago for the big show this month. And this week's issue is our kind of an annual wrap-up of some of the innovations and new product introductions and trends going on in the industry that's so important here to Grand Rapids. And an interesting one she came across down there was an exhibit that was outside the Merchandise Mart there in downtown Chicago. Hayworth out of Holland worked with a architectural firm or a design firm there in downtown Chicago called Gunsler Chicago, and they created kind of a workspace outdoors. And this is perhaps a coming trend. It's kind of interesting. You know, we hear more and more about well-being of workers in that office environment and how it affects their productivity, their efficiency, absenteeism, morale, and all those issues that go into an office. So they're doing some I don't know if you'd call it experimenting, but they set up kind of an office setting outdoor. If you've ever been to the Merchandise Mart, you understand this drive that leads into the main entrance there. And they set that up out there to see how it works, to test it out, see how people liked it. It'd kind of be interesting to see if something like this ever really comes up to fruition. It's just something that, for folks who have ever been to that show, the companies like to experiment with some of the setups they have, and that's how they learn.
We've talked about talent, and we've talked about office space and office furniture and how the economy is doing well. So when it comes to vacant storefronts, which seem pretty rare these days, there are some zoning issues in Grand Rapids.
Well, maybe not that rare in certain corridors around downtown. And you hear this from time to time. Why doesn't downtown Grand Rapids have more retail? Well, here could be something that you're beginning to hear developers and property owners talk more about. There's an ordinance that the city has that in certain retail corridors, in certain corridors in and around downtown, the ground floor must be a retail establishment. If you're going to put condos, apartments in the upper floors, that's one thing. But the ground floor, the city wants, and that's to encourage retail development. The city's under ordinance wants ground floor retail. If you're spending X amount of money to rehab a building, and therefore you have to charge X amount rent, perhaps a retailer can't afford that rent to take that ground floor space. The assertion is that this is leading to some vacancy rates around downtown, and here's just one. Division Avenue has the highest vacancy rate of any downtown street at 21%. One out of every five storefronts is vacant down on that corridor. So the developers and business owners are beginning to speak up a little bit to the city, and this is our cover story in my biz this week. We talked to folks who own those properties and are trying to lease out those properties, and it's not an easy equation because, again, if you've spent X amount of money, invested a certain large amount of money, you have to charge so much to make that project economically feasible. Then what's the price that somebody, a retailer, can afford to pay for that space? Or is there another use that can go in there? You can apply for a waiver to the ordinance, but that's not always an easy process either. So it's an issue to keep an eye on for downtown. You don't really think about that sometimes so much because you see so much vibrancy in downtown. But here perhaps is a problem that could very well be kind of an issue that came up from the success of downtown, where those rents are something that some folks can't afford because of those developers are investing a fair amount of money on those rehab projects.
MIViz senior writer Mark Sanchez, thank you so much.
Thank you.